Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Lawnview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
This past week marked the one-year anniversary for me. Marked the one-year anniversary of the surgical procedure that I had to remove a herniated disc from my neck. And I am pretty much reminded of that operation every day now when I look in the mirror. If you can look in the screen, you can see I have this scar on my neck right here that I get to look at every morning when I look up now. I have this scar on my throat. I'll carry it with me the rest of my life, and it will remind me of that time that I had a herniated disc removed from my spinal cord. Month of January, also this past month in January, marked the fourth year for me since I had my gallbladder removed. I woke up in the middle of the night, the morning of Martin Luther King Day in 2017, in extreme pain. I haven't been feeling good for several days back then. And then I woke up in extreme pain. I thought I had the day off just to kind of take the day off, but I wound up being out of work for 5 days because they had to remove my gallbladder. They did that one laparoscopically. So I have four very cool scars on my abdomen from that gallbladder removal surgery that I have. The older we get, the more scars we tend to accumulate in our lives. I have a scar on my right leg that I earned way back when I was a young boy. I cut my leg, and I think I've told you this story before. I cut my leg running from an out-of-control sheep at Margie Hale's farm outside of Troy, Ohio. I climbed up on a bunch of rocks, and there was some wood with nails in it, and I slipped on a rock running from the sheep that was chasing me, and I scraped my leg. I gashed my leg on that piece of wood, and I still have that scar to this day on my leg. Pastor Vicky has a scar on her forehead, and you'd never know it was there, but the next time you see her in person, and you can get like within non-social distancing distance, you should ask her, can I see your scar? She got a scar on her head because some kid threw a rock at her when she was a little girl. Can you imagine who in the world would throw a rock at Pastor Vicky? But it happened, and she's got this big scar from a gash she had in her head when she was little. And let me tell you, it's cooler than any scar that I have. And part of it's just the story behind that scar. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about scars. So I want to put a pin in that this morning. We're going to talk about our scars this morning. And like I said earlier, over the past few weeks, we have been spending time focused on how we can take some practical steps to build resiliency or the ability to bounce back in our lives. We are in the midst of a marathon, Maplewood. We're in the midst of a marathon of a tough season. This pandemic, to be honest, it's wearing on people. Even Pastor Vicky and I, we have our moments when we're dealing with setbacks, when we're dealing with discouragement, when we're dealing with doubt. If you're going through this time and you're feeling discouraged in moments of doubt, I want you to know that you're not alone. I think everybody, if they're really honest, is going through this because things aren't normal. Things aren't as we are accustomed for them to be. But we are in this together. We're in this together. And I just want you to know this morning that you're not alone and that you and I, Pastor Vicky and I, we're in this together with you. And I really do hope that you found some of the messages over the past couple of weeks encouraging and helpful and practical. I've really been trying to take some time to focus on the tools that the enemy will use to steal away our ability to bounce back in tough times. We've learned that tolerating sin in our lives has the potential to drag us down and drag us under and sap us of our confidence. We've learned that what we do while we're waiting to get through this period of time really matters. There's a right way to pray. There's a right way to pray to reorient our lives to the reality of the cross and to Christ. That's what prayer is for. There's a right way to pray, reorienting our lives to Christ rather than obsessing, using prayer as a time to simply obsess about that which oppresses us. Prayer is not supposed to be a time we go back and just run over the things that are oppressing us. It's a time for us to turn away from those things and turn ourselves back to the cross and remember who we are, whose we are, and that Jesus is with us in the midst of these times. We've learned over the past couple of weeks that connection is critical. Connection is critical to overcoming the feelings of isolation that weaken our ability to be resilient. I hope that you have been a first mover. I hope that you've been reaching out to somebody that the Lord's put on your mind over the past couple of weeks. That will help you feel connected. That will help them feel connected. And that will help you build some resiliency in your life as you move through this period of time. And last week we learned that in order to overcome apathy, that I just really don't care kind of attitude, in order to overcome apathy brought on by prolonged periods of tough times and setbacks, we need to be intentional, Maplewood, about spurring one another on to do good deeds rooted in love. We overcome apathy by spurring one another on to good deeds. And so today, I want to take one more trip back to the first week of our series where we were at in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We've been focusing on this passage and on Hebrews chapter 10 to help us get through this time and build strategies that foster resiliency. Romans chapter 5 is for people who have decided to follow Jesus, people who have asked Jesus into their hearts and are facing tough times and setbacks. Remember, Romans chapter 5 was written by the Apostle Paul from a jail cell. He was not in the best state of his life. He was behind bars being persecuted for his faith. And yet he writes these words in chapter 5 of the book of Romans, this letter to the Roman church. He writes these words from behind bars. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, since we have been justified through faith, since we've been saved by Jesus, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace of which we now stand. Then he writes, and we rejoice. We take joy in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice. We take joy in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Some jailhouse wisdom for us this morning as we ponder this passage. I want to take a few moments as you reflect on this passage today. I want to take a few moments to reflect on how in the world is it possible to rejoice in suffering? I think that is a legitimate question we have every right to ask. How is it possible to rejoice in suffering? I think to actually take joy in suffering, to actually be able to rejoice in our sufferings, it may be one of the hardest things to learn how to do as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Learning how to take joy in our suffering, probably the most difficult lesson we will learn in this life as we are learning how to follow Jesus. Relatively speaking, it is easier to love my neighbor. It is easier to learn to love God. Sometimes it might be easier to learn to love my enemies than it is to rejoice, to take joy in my suffering. In the calculus of this world, if we're going to say we're going to take joy in our suffering, that that kind of sounds mentally unhealthy. If you think about it, in through the lens of the way that this world looks at things, it actually, to take joy in suffering, isn't that sadism? To take joy in suffering our own or the suffering of others? But I don't think that the Apostle Paul is telling us this morning in this passage to actually take joy in the pain. Let's explore this a little bit this morning. I think that what he's saying here is that we need to take joy in what is on the other side of the pain. What is on the other side of the suffering? Because Maplewood, I want you to learn this morning. I want us to get ourselves anchored around this morning that pain and discomfort are temporary. Pain is a momentary experience. Our pain will not last forever. If you're experiencing pain right now, and some of us deal with chronic pain every day. Raise your hand if you experience chronic pain every day. But that pain, friends, that pain is only momentary. It's not going to last forever. Pain never does last forever. The ending of your story, the ending of my story as followers of Jesus is not defined by the pain and the suffering that we may be experiencing in this current moment. The ending of our stories are defined by something else. And I want you to focus on that something else this morning. I want you to think about the story of Jesus this morning. His story, the story of Jesus, is not defined by pain and suffering. As a matter of fact, his story is defined by overcoming pain and suffering, working through, pushing through pain and suffering, and even pushing through the pain of death itself. And I really believe that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us today. Pain is not the end. The pain you may be in today, the thing you may be suffering with today, it is not the end of the story. Never will be. Pain is simply an experience on the path to a better future. You may want to write that down this morning. Pain is simply a momentary experience on the path to a better future, a future defined by our hope in heaven. That's all right. That's all real. But I do want to acknowledge that pain and suffering are real. I don't want to diminish what anyone has gone through or is going through at all this morning as we think about this. But as we suffer, as we experience pain, we should be reminded, we need to be reminded that it's not always going to be this way. It's not always going to be this way because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character produces, wait for it, it produces hope. And it's hope that the scripture tells us will not disappoint. You see, another one of those big enemies of resiliency, one of those big enemies that keep us from being able to bounce back is pain. Pain is one of the big enemies to our ability to build resiliency in our lives. Pain is another one of those things that saps us of our ability to bounce back. Pain is real. Pain causes us at times to lose perspective. We're only able as human beings to think about the current moment sometimes. Or maybe we're only able to worry about a future moment of potential pain. Sometimes we're stuck in the current moment with the pain we're experiencing right now. Sometimes maybe we're worried about future pain. When I think about this, I think about going to the dentist. I can't stand going to the dentist. I worry when I have a dental appointment on the calendar because that was Pepper. Yeah, Pepper doesn't like the dentist either. Pepper's not into dental care whatsoever.
Pepper worries about company.
Pepper worries about company too. But I do want you to think about this. We get sucked into the pain we experience in the moment, and we also worry about future pain, And when we are distracted by the moment and worried about the future, about pain in our future, we have little resiliency. Our resiliency gets sapped because we are not able to focus on what we need to focus on to bounce back. Instead, we are focused on the pain. And sometimes we're so traumatized by past pain. Sometimes we're so traumatized by past pain that we find it hard to move forward in our lives. Pain, be it physical pain or emotional pain, pain can paralyze us. Pain can paralyze us. Pain can cause us to freeze up, to seize up. And when we freeze up and seize up, we have no resiliency whatsoever. It's like a dog barking in the middle of a sermon. It distracts you and it gets your mind off of what it needs to be on. And we're not able to focus on what we need to focus on when we are experiencing pain, when we're worried about pain, or when we're still consumed by the pain from our past. So how do we deal with the pain, Pastor? How do we get our minds focused back in the right place from that dog barking in the middle of the sermon? Well, I think that what we have to do, friends, is we have to learn, according to what Paul is teaching in this passage this morning, we have to learn to look past our pain in order to overcome our pain. And I'm not saying we have to ignore our pain this morning. I'm trying to be very practical and very real and just very authentic with you. I don't think what the Bible is teaching here, I don't think what Paul is teaching is that we ignore our pain. But I don't think that would be realistic. I think this passage is teaching us that we have to learn how to look past our pain. We have to intentionally, even in the midst of suffering, we have to intentionally will ourselves to remember, to understand that there is something more that is going on than meets the eye. There is something more going on than what we are actually physically able to sense and to experience. To look beyond our pain means to learn from past pain. To look beyond our pain means to look beyond our current pain and know that the pain and the suffering that we may be going through, it isn't the end of the story. Are you tracking along with me this morning? Our pain, our momentary pain, pain is never the end of the story. We have to intentionally learn how to look past it. One of the most helpful ways I'm reminded that there is hope beyond my current pain is to focus on my scars. Now, we all have scars. You have your own unique scars, and I want you to think about your scars this morning. One of the ways I'm reminded that there is hope beyond my current pain is to focus on our scars. And that may sound a little odd this morning. Pastor, you want me to focus on my scars? What? But it's all about perspective, church. It's all about gaining perspective. Some people may look at their scars and it may remind them of past pain. But when I look at my scars, I tend to view my scars as reminders that I've been healed. Scars remind us that pain is temporary. Scars are a living history in our lives of the times when we got better. Yes, there are seasons of pain. There are long months. This past year has been very long for me in terms of recovering from this scar here on my neck. Months and months of physical therapy, and I'm still not totally back to where I was before I had the surgery, but I'm getting better. I'm healing, and the scar reminds me that I'm getting better. Scars are reminders to me that the pain that I'm in now or the pain that I suffered back then, that pain, it is not permanent. There's hope. When we look at our scars should remind us that there's hope of healing. There's hope of physical healing. Boy, last February at this time, I was talking to Pastor Vicky last Valentine's Day. I had bandages on my neck. I had a brace around my neck for weeks as I was healing. And this year, look at me now. I'm looking pretty good today. I'm not 100% healed, but I'm in the process of healing. There's hope for physical healing. There's hope for spiritual healing. There's hope for emotional healing in our lives. Not even the pain of death is permanent for those who trust in Jesus, because death is not the end of the story. Yes, Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered pain and death on the cross on that Friday. But on Sunday, he was healed and he overcame not only the pain, but he overcame the grave. And Jesus is the first fruits, the deposit of what is promised for both you and I. Our story, friends, is not defined by temporary, momentary pain. It is defined by the healing power of Jesus Christ in our lives. And I really do think that that is what Paul meant when he wrote, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain," because there is even more beyond death. Our story doesn't end with the pain. It doesn't end with death. You see, the more we suffer pain, I think the stronger our hope in Christ can become. The more we experience pain and suffering in our lives, the stronger our hope in Christ can become. I really think that's why Christians are able to take joy in our suffering. It's why we're able to rejoice in the midst of our suffering. The world says that suffering demonstrates weakness and defeat. But the truth is that enduring pain makes us stronger people. It makes us stronger as we follow Jesus. Pain stretches us. Suffering stretches us a little further than we think we were able to withstand. Remember the bungee cord? Remember Amy Peterson's bungee cord video that we watched back on the first Sunday of this series? We talked about it several weeks ago. That cord was stretched, but that cord didn't break, and it saved her. It bounced back. It always bounced back. And with each and every encounter with pain or suffering, we become a little wiser, stronger in knowledge. We've been there. We've done that. We know what it's like. We become a little braver, stronger in our perseverance. We become a bit more firm in our conviction, stronger in our character. We become a little bit more confident because we become stronger in that hope that we're looking forward to. Wiser, braver, stronger, more confident. That, my friends, is the definition of resiliency, the definition of being able to bounce back. When we're growing in these things, we're able to bounce back from anything that the enemy can throw at you and I. So your homework this week, as we wrap things up this morning, pretty simple on this last Sunday of this series. Your homework this week is to take another look at your scars. I want you to take another look at your scars. They may be physical scars. We've all got them. I told you about mine. They may be emotional scars that you're carrying. But instead of viewing those scars as a reminder of past pain and suffering, I want you to simply this week ask Jesus to help you view those scars as reminders of healing. Those scars are evidence, church, that you made it through a season of pain in your past. Those scars are evidence that you got better. The very fact that you have that scar is direct proof that you've got better. The wounds are no longer open. They've healed over. Yes, you may have been wounded at some point and stretched to your limit, yet here you are today, by the grace of God, still standing through the mercy of Jesus Christ. Some of us are still moving through the process of healing from past pains. And that is truly okay. But we're getting better. We're getting better. Friends, you may feel like you're at your wit's end right now. You may feel like you're at your wit's end as we slog through this pandemic. You may feel like the enemy has you on the ropes at times. But I want you to hear my voice today. I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. Jesus is with you. Jesus is by your side this morning. Jesus is walking with his children this morning, and he wants to help you through this temporary, momentary season of pain and suffering and tough times and potential setbacks. I really do believe that we are going to look back on this day. We're going to look back on this time when all is said and done. 10 years from now, many of us will realize that these were days when we were stretched beyond what we thought we could withstand. These were days we were growing and we're getting stronger. We were in the process of healing, if you will, as we walk with Jesus and our faith family through the pandemic, through the days of 2020 and 2021. Aren't you thankful this morning? Aren't you thankful that we don't walk alone through these seasons? Jesus is with us. Pastor Vicky said it earlier. He is Emmanuel, God with us. That's not just a Christmas promise and a Christmas story. That is the reality of who God is and who Christ is with us today in the midst of our suffering. Our faith family, the people on this chat, the people that are watching this morning, the people in our Maplewood faith family are with us. We are not alone. Our Heavenly Father is with us. Our faith family is with us. And you might be wondering, Pastor, how do you know? How can you have confidence in this? Because the Bible tells us so. Because we know that all suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And our hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Therefore, if that's true, which it is, rejoice, Maplewood, not in your suffering, but in the hope we have that this suffering's not all that there is. Rejoice in the hope that we have on the other side of this momentary period of time that we're going through. Look beyond the pain of the past. Look beyond the pain you may be facing today. Look beyond the pain you may be facing tomorrow. Look beyond the pain and look into the hope of eternity that we have in our Savior Jesus Christ. There are better days ahead. There are. The Bible tells us so. We will bounce back. That is the hope that we have this morning. Let's pray together this morning as we wrap up our service. I want to thank Pastor Vicky and Stephen and Taylor for bringing the music. And I want to thank Pepper for her little example that we were able to use in the middle of the message today. I want to thank all of you for joining us today here online. We've got several people who joined us out on Zoom this morning too. But I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for us all as we wrap up this series, as we wrap up this time together, for resiliency in each and every one of us, rooted in the foundation of love and hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, that the pain and the suffering that we're not going through right now or we've gone through in the past or may come up in our lives in the future is not caused by you. You're a God of love. You do not cause that, but you are with us and you give us a hope. You give us the promise that this pain and this suffering is not how our story is going to end. We have a great hope in you this morning as we live in the hope that Jesus is our Savior, Lord. We have the hope of eternity. And we know, Lord, that there's more than what we feel and see and experience that's going on. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning, Father, that you would help us to consider our own personal scars, physical, emotional, spiritual scars that we may have, Lord. And may we look at them not with PTSD, but Lord, may we look at them. May they serve as a reminder to us that you are healing us, that we are getting better, that we are in the process of getting better, that you are in the process of healing us, that your love is in the process of healing us. Lord, help us to realize that when we allow you to fill us with your Holy Spirit, that is the medicine that we need. The Holy Spirit is the cure that we need that heals us from the inside out, deep within our souls, so that we can get better and become better and become the people that you intended us to be. Lord, thank you for the remedy. Thank you for the antidote. Thank you for the inoculation of the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives that saves us from our sins and allows us to become not marred by sinfulness, but to become pure and holy and righteous from the inside out. Lord, we're thankful for the hope that we have as you continue to work your healing in us, not only a physical healing, but a spiritual healing within each and every one of us. Father, may we be reminded by our scars that we are getting better. May we lean into our faith in Jesus this morning and remember that we are being healed and that you are being patient with us as we come along and get better. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help Maplewood to become a place where we can help each other through our periods of pain, that we can help support one another and remind each other that there's a hope beyond this moment that we can relish in, that can help us endure, that can help us to persevere, that can help us to bounce back. We thank you, Father, for this promise and this reality in our lives. We thank you for this time together this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd be moving deeply in our hearts during this season, 10 years from now, in eternity, when we look back on this time. May we be able to say, that was a season when God was with us. And that was a season where we really, really were stretched beyond our limits, but we grew in our faith. We grew in our stature. We grew in our wisdom and our knowledge. We grew in righteousness to become more like Christ in spite of the crisis. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.